Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Today is Palm Sunday, and I'm going to read for you today from Mark chapter 11, about the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. On that day when they laid out the palm branches before Him and they laid out their cloaks before Him. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, there is a part of the Scripture where the whole crowd shouts out Hosanna. Hosanna is a word that means Lord, save us. It means save us now. It is a word that is asking that the Lord who comes would come and save them and deliver them from that which has afflicted them, whether that's Rome or sin, and for us, whatever it is that gets in the way between us and God. Lord, save us. And so I'm going to ask us, that reading, that part where the crowd cries out, that reading's going to be in bold. And I'm going to ask that all of us would read that scripture together. And when you do, we have these. Let's make use of these. Hold these up during that part of the scripture reading. Hold these up when we shout Hosanna. And in the same way, we will be joining the crowds in our voice of praise as well. And so I'm going to ask you to make use of these palm branches that have been placed on your pews today as a part of our scripture reading. And so let us read together from Mark chapter 11, the first 11 verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, and as they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' And Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12." I want to tell you about a lady in my first church that I pastored, a lady by the name of Catherine Campbell. I think I perhaps have said a little bit about her before. I love telling these kinds of stories. They're stories of people, saints in the church, who have kind of made a difference in my life, just as the saints in our scriptures that have just kind of been preserved for us. And so I like to kind of tell their stories and keep them in my memory. But Catherine Campbell, I remember visiting her with another lady in our church, and we went and visited her, and she's just a wonderful, a lot of fun, just a joy to be with. I remember talking with her, and she says to me, "Pastor Tim, I want to know, will you officiate my funeral?" And I thought, well, this is a weird request. I said, "What, you got this planned already?" I said, "You look in good health. Like, what's going on here?" And she's like, "Oh, well, you know, I asked two other pastors to do it, and I outlived them all." And I thought, well, this isn't a good omen. You know, what do you mean? I thought, wow. And so I said, "How old are you?" And immediately I wish I could take those words back, right? Because you're never supposed to ask someone how old they are. But I asked that question, and she said 99, and I went, sorry, and then immediately I wish I could take that back. I said, I'm sorry, and she said, "No, that's okay. I'm surprised too." But she was so, and she had it all planned. She had who she wanted to speak. She had poems she wanted read. She had hymns that were her favorite she wanted sung. She had this whole thing planned. Had it planned for decades and had outlived all the ministers before me. But she was great. She was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on our visit. And she would tell me stories. One of the stories she told me was about her husband. She said her husband was a godly man. Often just kind of just in tune with where the Spirit of God was leading him. And she shared this story of they had gone grocery shopping. They were coming back with their groceries in the car, and while they were driving down the road, he says, "Well, hey, I'm going to pull over in front of this house." And he says, I feel like God is telling me I need to give some of our groceries and our milk to the people in this house. And she said, wait, what? Wait, why are you doing this? He said, I feel the Spirit of God telling me I need to bring groceries to this house. And so he goes over to this house and he knocks on the door. It wasn't people that they knew before. And he goes and he knocks on the door and they answer the door and says, I don't know why, but God's impressed on me that you might need these more than I do. And he gave to her the milk and some groceries that they had just bought. And of course, this family had said, we had just run out and payday is a long ways away. We had just run out of our milk, and this is such a blessing. And he said, well, God wanted you to have this and make sure that you could get by during this time. And I remember her telling me this story and saying this is who he was. He was just in tune with when the Spirit of God would lead him to these different things. But in this story, she asked him, she said, wait, why are you doing this? What's going on here? And this is similar to what happens in this story in Mark as well, where Jesus is getting ready to go, and he says to the disciples, they're going to ask, wait, why do you need this colt? What are you doing? And you're to say that the Lord needs this. And just as Catherine Campbell said, well, God wants me to do this. They were in tune with what the Lord wanted and what the Lord was asking of them. And for them to go and take this colt is a moment of faith for them. It's a moment of faith for the bystanders as well to recognize that they are willing to allow the Lord to use this. I mean, scholars have been wondering, wait, who owned this colt? Like it could be an act of faith for the owner. Wait a minute, who needs this? Or did Jesus already own it and he's the one who's just telling, they're just telling the bystanders, no, this is for him, this is his, it's okay. But either way, there's this moment of faith where sometimes the Lord asks us, it seems, to do something or to act in a way, and you say, John, wait a minute, why are we doing this again? And to just act in faith that God knows what he's doing and what he is asking of us. Another person in my first church at Fairway Knowles was a guy named by the name of Tom. And he led one of our Sunday school classes and another just great man. And we had a visitor to the church, someone who had started coming more regularly. She had been coming for about 3 months at this point in time. And she had just moved into the area. But she still had some things she had to take care of from where she had come before. She had come from a city about 2.5 hours away that was right on the state border. And she had to get some affairs in order, but she had some car issues. And she realized this, and she was sharing this in Sunday school. And Tom said, well, you can take my car. Now, they didn't have an excessive number of cars. Tom had a car for him to get to work, and his wife had a car for her to get to work. But he said, yeah, you can take my car. And he told his wife this. And his wife said, wait, what? She's only been coming to this church a couple months. She's going a long ways away with our vehicle. Is she going to come back with it? I mean, she still's got ties over there. And Tom said, no, I just feel like this is what God wanted us to do, and it's going to be okay, and we can let her make use of this. And so Tom lends out his car. And sure enough, she drives 2.5 hours away, right to the state line, takes care of her affairs, and comes back. and something like amazing is there, like Tom, Catherine's husband, Mr. Campbell, both of them are like, I find myself, oh, man, those are people who are listening and they're in tune in ways that are just amazing and saying and trusting that God is going to be faithful. And when someone asks, wait, why are you doing this? This seems a little out of the ordinary. Just recognizing that this is something that God wants them to do. In the same way that the disciples are recognizing and the bystanders nearby are recognizing the Lord has placed an unusual call, but God is going to do something with that. And often when faced with decisions to act, we often have to ask ourselves, right, well, should I really do this? When there seems like there's something above and beyond what we could do, usually the question we find ourselves kind of wavering between is, do I act on this or am I going to be taken advantage of, right? Like that's usually kind of the questions, you know, should I do this or am I going to be taken advantage of here? But there's a part of me that wonders, what if the question we should be asking ourselves is not, how is this helpful to me or detrimental to me? But how will the Lord be glorified in this? How is God glorified in whatever happens with whatever has come my way, whatever opportunity has come before us? How is the Lord glorified in my response or my answer here? And one of the things I am constantly impressed with these memories and the ways in which people will act in ways that are just like, hey, this was just a little bit more, a little bit above and beyond what I would normally do. I love how they are just listening to and in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing. And I want to suggest to you today that part of us getting in tune and finding out where is God asking us to step out, to do something more, to do something a little bit perhaps unusual. I want to say to you today that if you ever feel like the Spirit of God seems to be impressing on you to act with compassion or to act in service to another person beyond what you would normally do, if you feel like, wait, I feel like this would be a good thing, maybe God's telling me to do this, I just want to say go ahead and do it. Just go ahead, step out on a limb, act on it, and see what God does. See how the Spirit of God moves. And when the Spirit of God seems to be silent, as often happened, even in passages of Scripture, long periods of time where, it's been a while since I just really felt the Spirit of God saying, okay, this is what I want you to do. Just continue to act in accordance with the directives of Scripture and do so in obedience to God. And I think what happens is we find ourselves practicing listening to the Holy Spirit. Because when we are following the directives that God has given us in Scripture, even when it's hard, even when we're tempted, we find ourselves becoming accustomed to listening and trusting in God during those moments. And also when we find ourselves given opportunity to step outside and we feel that slight inkling, that slight kind of, wait a minute, I wonder if this person could be helped in this way. And we act on it and trust that the Holy Spirit is moving and nudging us. Then we are again practicing listening to the Spirit of God and seeing what God does in our midst. And I think this is a way in which we actively practice listening to the Holy Spirit among us. Listening because we believe Jesus is Lord in our life and is still at work. And that is what the disciples do here when they go to the colt. This is what the crowd is doing as they're welcoming Jesus and giving up the colt for him to ride in. Listening because they believe he is Lord. And they believe he is the one who saves, that he is the one who delivers them. And now what happens next is a formal procession. Right, it is a formal entry into Jerusalem. Everyone is gathered, they're waiting, they're expecting him. And we don't have very many formal entries anymore. Most of our processions are reserved for weddings, right? They're reserved for graduations and awards ceremonies, right? Like those are the kind of the processions that we have, those kind of special moments. We don't have very many that include like parades or entries of like political figures anymore. I mean, the images of leaders waving from vehicles conjures up kind of frightful moments in American history rather than celebrating political leadership. But make no mistake, the procession of Jesus into Jerusalem carries all the weight of a political procession. He's hailed as Lord. They say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is a designation often reserved for Caesar. He was considered the Lord of all the land, and perhaps that term could also be used informally for those who were also in charge. But the others who were in charge were considered like puppets to Caesar. Like whatever he said, they would go ahead and do, right? And so they are calling him Lord and recognize that he is not tied to any other power, to any other might other than God. And they say, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. David is the forefather who's known for delivering them precisely from their surrounding enemies, precisely from those powers that seem to come against them. And when they have Rome over their shoulders, they're thinking, good, maybe Jesus will get rid of them. The greatest moments of military might that their nation ever knew was under King David. The greatest successes they ever knew was under King David. And Jesus is coming to institute a new level of authority, a new level of power, a new level of might, and they're certain of this. You see, Jesus come riding in on the colt conjures up all kinds of images. The prophet Zechariah talked about the Messiah coming in on a colt. I mean, even King Solomon comes riding in at one point in time on a donkey that had never been ridden before. And we have those kind of images here. All these images are images of Jesus as the Lord, God's anointed, chosen one, but also one who comes in the line of David. And so they are welcoming Jesus as Lord into their city, into the capital, into their lives, into their nation. They are welcoming Jesus as Lord. And in the same way, too, we have opportunity to welcome Jesus as Lord into our life. There are plenty of authorities that try to claim lordship in our life, that try to claim power over us. Sometimes it's our sin, or some kind of evil, or it's Satan that tells us that we can figure out good and evil on our own. We don't need anyone else. We certainly don't need God. And this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? This idea that, oh, you can decide for yourself. You don't need God to help you out anymore. And so sometimes that's how we live our life. Well, I don't need God, or I don't need anyone else helping me understand what God wants in my life. I got this. And we lift ourselves up to the title of Lord, if you will. Sometimes what the authorities that claim lordship in our life is the temptation of prestige or influence or money. It's that carrot in front of us that's always telling us we can have just a little bit more, or we deserve just a little bit more. But yet, there is always another stock to invest in. There is always another status symbol to purchase. There is always something more that tells us that we never have enough. And so to lift up Jesus as Lord is to recognize that nothing else defines who we are other than what Jesus does when he welcomes us into the family of God. That we need Jesus to take control and authority over all that in our life. And I know we often believe in Jesus, but admit that these kind of things still kind of have control in our life. That a lot of times we say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I know who he is as the Son of God, but some of those things, they still seem to have a lot of control, a lot of power in my life. A power that seems to kind of overrun and influence us, much in the same way that Rome overran and controlled Jerusalem. That sometimes I think we find ourselves wondering and longing for a better time. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but it still seems like there's this struggle, there's this fight, there's this battle. And we find ourselves longing for a time when we remember it seemed that God had a little more control, where it seemed like God had a little bit more power in our life, when it seemed like things were going great. And that's what the crowd is remembering. When they're remembering the reign of King David, they're remembering when things seemed to go a lot smoother, when there were a lot more victories in their lives than struggle, when there was a lot more celebrations of what God was doing than wondering, okay, God, where are you right now? And so they find themselves so excited for Jesus who comes, recognizing that he comes from that line, that he is going to be like a King David again. There's going to be more and more times of victory. And the Church of the Nazarene recognizes that oftentimes this is the experience for Christians in life, that recognizing that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that Jesus has died for sins, we recognize that there is still need for him to have a triumphal entry in our life. That there is still a need for us to be able to lay everything down before him and allow him to do a new work in us. That we need to continually yield ourselves to Jesus as Lord and trust that his Spirit will work in us and root out the sin and the evil in our life. Will indeed begin a sanctifying, a holy work in us that will allow us to fully surrender over to God. That will allow us indeed to be able to say Jesus has full lordship in our life. And like the people around Jerusalem who have laid down their cloaks and they've laid down their branches before Jesus, they are allowing Jesus to enter into their city, allowing Jesus to enter into their lives. We also want Jesus to enter into our lives, to work in us. And to do that, we need to continue to lay down before Jesus whatever gets in the way and allow him full and welcome entry into our life. And I kind of like that imagery. I kind of like that thought that whatever we might have that gets in the way between us and God, we lay down before him like these people laid down the palm branch before Jesus and to let Jesus come trample over it and have dominion and power over that, over whatever keeps us away from God. And I think that is in part a point for us as we celebrate Jesus as Lord and begin to recognize what Jesus is doing for us on the cross and what promise is available to us with the resurrection that we will be celebrating next week. That the great temptation, I think, at this point is just to say, okay, this is it. I know that there's Jesus. I know that he is the Son of God, but how do I struggle and how do I deal with the various things that demand my attention? And to be able to yield again and again to him, to always lay down before Him and to let Him have power and to come in as Lord in our life is going to change everything for us. And hopefully for us, we don't just make this an internal thing that stops there. That we lay down the branches and expect that whatever internal struggle exists will be taken care of. And that'll just be good enough. There is also something more and something external that has to happen as well. When the work of Jesus that needs to be done as Lord in our life is limited to just what He does within myself, within my borders, or within my Jerusalem, then it won't be long before we get to Good Friday, before we start to become a little unsettled, before we become a little shaken and realize that there is a claim laid upon our life to live outside of our own comforts, to indeed to live in a way that treats and honors our neighbor as we would honor ourselves. What if by laying down whatever keeps us from Jesus and inviting Him into our life, we are also allowing His entry to make us ask this question: what does the Lord need of this? What does the Lord need of this? What does He need of me? How is the Lord able to use me in the day-to-day of life? Like Mr. Campbell or Tom Robleski, who find themselves listening in ways that say, okay, this is something that takes something from me, that creates a little bit of risk, but I recognize the Spirit of God has laid a claim in which I can honor Him by serving others. That Mr. Campbell, when he delivers the groceries, doesn't just say, hey, here's a nice thing I wanted to do. He said, God told me that this, you could use this. That Tom didn't just think, oh, this is a nice thing to do, but said, no, this is what God wants me to do. That we can, in our interactions with one another and with our neighbors, be willing to say, I think God wants me to help you today in whatever way it is that God is directing us. That that our life becomes a way of glorifying God with a sure trust that the Lord is in the midst of the blessing. That indeed, when we lay down whatever it is that keeps us from Jesus, that Jesus does indeed enter fully into our lives, but also changes us and directs us in how we will live our lives with one another. And so, I wonder if today, as we hear this story, as we get ready to go into Easter, if we might find ourselves saying, okay, Lord, where and how might I welcome You more fully into my life and how You would have me to serve You and to love my neighbor? And that we might be able to ask, Lord, is there anything that gets in the way of that? Any doubt? Any fear, any issue that just caused me to say, oh, I don't know. That perhaps by allowing those issues to get in the way again and again, we found it harder and harder to feel and hear the nudgings of those spirits that says, here's an opportunity for you to extend the grace of God. And perhaps we need to lay down that which gets in the way and say, God, here it is. I want to hear and see and experience Jesus more fully in my life. And it is my hope and that as we do that, we will find indeed that the Jesus who enters into our life, indeed the Jesus who was crucified for us and for our salvation, is indeed the one who still resides with us, whose Spirit is still at work in us and allowing us and welcoming us into the family of God. This morning, I hope that as we sing our closing song in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, my hope this week as we go from this place praising Him, honoring Him, that we would indeed allow His Spirit to continue to influence and change and direct us in all of our dealings with our neighbors, with our community, with everyone that we encounter, our families, our friends, that indeed God's saving grace would be experienced by all, because we all are welcomed into this family. Welcomed into the promise that comes on Easter Sunday morning. If you have opportunity at all on this week to bring and invite those whom you know to be able to join and celebrate with you next week, I invite you to do so. For God's grace is unbounded, is indeed made available to all, and we want to make that available to all. And so let us honor Him this morning by preparing for what God is going to do and how He's going to continue to lift up, and He is going to raise up people to be freed from and saved from that which gets in the way of their relationship with God and their relationship with one another, and trust what He is going to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning it is my hope and it is my prayer, Lord, that we would be able to come before You this morning and say, we just want You to be Lord in our life. We desire, Heavenly Father, that whatever keeps us from a closer relationship with You, whatever keeps us from loving You more deeply, that, Lord, we would be able to lay that before You and allow Your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem it. Indeed, to allow Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and rule in our life. And Heavenly Father, today, it is my hope and it is my prayer that Your Son, Jesus Christ, who dwells in us by Your Holy Spirit, would indeed change us and allow us, Heavenly Father, to be able to live boldly with love, with grace, with mercy, with Your Spirit, changing the way in which we live in this world. That indeed we cannot help but love one another. Indeed we could not help but honor You with our day to day. And indeed find that Your grace is sufficient and that You are continually with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now that Your Spirit would meet us where we are. That Heavenly Father, where there is shortcoming, that Lord, there would be grace. And Heavenly Father, where there is doubt or uncertainty, and where, Lord, there is questions, that, Lord, You would provide power and authority to overcome that which keeps us from You and that which keeps us from honoring You with our life. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that as we lay those before You today, that You would indeed, by the power of Your Spirit, sanctify, work, and change us. Pray this in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.